Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. And again, I am your host, Lauren Chalantani, and you're listening to episode 29 with Kimberly Friedmutter, Harnessing Your Subconscious Power. Before we get into the interview today, all the juicy stuff, I wanted to talk to you guys about the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and along with a lot of my other guests, and myself included, are graduates from this online nutrition school. And Integrative Nutrition, or IIN, is the world's largest online nutrition school. And I graduated in 2015, have had so many wonderful experiences during school, but also after school, of meeting so many wonderful people through IIN. And I recommend it to anybody I talk to, whether you're considering a career in health coaching or just honestly want to get your own health back in gear. And what makes IIN different from a lot of schools out there is that they actually teach you hundreds of different nutritional theories. So their approach is that not one diet fits all. And I think that's totally correct, that you really have to tune in to your own self. And as a coach, you need to learn how to hold that space for your client, for them to be able to figure out what foods do well with their bodies and what foods don't. And IIN teaches something that's also very important and what we talk all about here on Witchy Wellness Radio, and that is that your health is so much more than just the food that you eat. And if you're eating all the right food and you are stressed out or some other area of your life is just really bringing you down, then that food is not worth anything. So IIN teaches the concept of primary foods, which is this lovely wheel chart in which diet and nutrition is just one prong and this multifaceted approach to health and wellness. So if you guys think this sounds pretty awesome, because it definitely is, I am including my referral link, laurenchalantani.com/IIN, in which you guys can just click away in the show notes and learn more info. So back to today's episode with Kimberly Friedmutter. She is the author of Subconscious Power, Use Your Inner Mind to Create the Life That You Always Wanted. In the episode, we talk about Kimberly's backstory, how she went from an LA radio talk show host to now a best-selling author. What actually is the subconscious? Can everybody go into trance? And why her book is a tool guide, a fast track, and easy, and not another complicated process. How our subconscious thoughts can manifest into physical manifestations. Kimberly shares her six main principles from her book, Subconscious Power, which include taking responsibility, tap into your subconscious, do you move toward or away, judge thyself and your neighbor, give to get, and play big. How to get out of your drought or depression. How to feel better first, and then figure out what you want and how to play big. And so, so, so much more. So without further ado, please enjoy episode 29 with Kimberly Friedmutter. Welcome, everybody, back to Witchy Wellness Radio, and I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, and today we have the pleasure of speaking with Kimberly Friedmutter. She is a celebrity hypnotist and author of Subconscious Power, Use Your Inner Mind to Create the Life You've Always Wanted. So welcome, Kimberly.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
Of course. I am so excited to have this conversation with you. I think our listeners will benefit so much from all your tips and your information and stories. But I want to know, how did you get to write this book, number one, but two, have these high-performing, high-profile celebrity clients as well?
Well, yeah, two different things. So it's I had a radio show, a talk show in Los Angeles on the Howard Stern station there, and KLSX 97.1, and that show was so interesting, and I decided just to go for continuing education. And I thought, you know, I should just do something that's really kind of out there at the time, and that was hypnosis training, simply because I had sought out hypnotherapy for some problems that I had had personally and that it had worked for. One, in case in point, was stage fright. And so I wouldn't have even had the radio show had I not cleared that up
Oh, wow.
right away for the obvious reasons. Yeah. And so, and then I went for numerous other things, and it just seemed so simple and so beautiful for the client, which at the time was myself, that I really wanted to understand it from the practitioner side. And so that was the impetus moving in that direction. Then, after years and years and years of practice, and not too long ago, HarperCollins reached out and asked if I would write a book for them. And I said I'd love to. And so it took about a year to put the team together. You know, you need an agent, and you have to get all the things in place, and then you turn in a proposal. And at the time of turning in that proposal, the gal that had reached out to me left HarperCollins, and so the agent said, "Great, let's put it out on the free market and see what we have." Because in truth, you know, you can put as much goodness into the world as you want, and until it's received, you know, it might sit dormant. You never know. And so, it created a stir, and we sold the book right away to Simon and Schuster. And actually, Atria is the imprint that it sits with in Simon and Schuster, and they are the ones that published The Secret. And so, having, you know, standing on the shoulders of our forefathers and the things that we learned from those books that come before us, it's interesting because this is more the scientific kind of before story of The Secret, in the sense that that summoning and that beckoning for things that are out there to come to us does come from the subconscious mind. So, for those that are not aware of the two parts of the mind, is one is conscious, which is your daily task making and phone calling and meetings that you make and schedules with your children and whatnot. And then the other part of the mind, the much deeper layer, is the subconscious mind. And that is responsible for your emotions, for your symbolism, for your memories, for your habits, addictions, you know, joy, sadness, all of those things that you feel. So it's the softer side and the much more touchy-feely part of us. And that was the part I wanted in on. I felt like that was getting, I'm from Texas, and when we used to pull weeds out of the yard, my parents would make us pull weeds, and they'd say, "Make sure you get it by the root, you know, it'll only die if you get it by the root." And so, okay. So this is the getting it by the root part of those problems, and they really are deeply rooted in our subconscious. And so, as beautiful as this part of the brain is and the mind is sometimes, you know, it can be a slippery slope, and we've all felt those times, and there's no shame in it. But the thing is you can fix it, and you can fix it easily and simply, and actually just using what nature gave you, which is that zoning out, or they call it trance, they call it mesmerization. You know, people say, "Well, can everybody be put in trance?" And so I just ask, what are your top five priorities? If you like small shiny objects, then you're entranced, and that's your hypnotist. If you like to listen to Adele sing a song, you know, she's your hypnotist for while you're in that zone. Sometimes the refrigerator can do that to you. You open up the fridge door and you forget why you went into it. Driving, you know, 5 miles down a lonely stretch of highway, you don't really consciously remember doing it, but you know you did. And so it's really fantastic and your best ally. And I had to write about it because the things, you know, like you had mentioned, I have celebrity clientele and high performing clientele all over the world. And the things that I was discovering and these principles that were starting to emerge from this richness of experience that I was experiencing as a practitioner, I thought this has to be available for everybody because everybody can do it. It's super, super simple. Not one person is more great than the other. We're all great in that way. We all have a subconscious mind, whether you believe in it or not. It's science and very well studied. And it's a beautiful part of us that if you tap into it, it literally gives you 1,000 less things to do. I did ask Simon Schuster, I said, "Please don't let me write a book that is one more thing for one more busy woman to do, because, you know, we just can't. We're full. We're closed for business, you know." Don't do one more thing. And so they said, "Oh, no, no, no." And sure enough, it emerged as this, you know, real simple, like, great fast track from point A to point B to get stuff done. And it's the easiest thing you'll ever do. It's like your gut, your intuition, you know, you have all those instincts and you don't necessarily follow them. I'm saying follow them, enhance them, develop them, because they're like a muscle. And when you exercise that muscle, then all of a sudden it does the work for you.
Mm-hmm. And our tagline on this podcast is your body is not in the way, it's leading your way. So we talk about how our body signals to us through our intuition. And this is a perfect way to describe that, through your subconscious.
Right. So I say that the subconscious is the conductor and the body is the train. And so the body is moving from the thought. So for example, you were mentioning earlier that you loved Louise Hay's bit in the book. Mm-hmm. And I do bring body into it strongly in this writing, because if you're so fantastic in your head and everything's going so great and you're all straight and everything's fantastic and moving lightning speed, you need the body to keep up for that. And, you know, people wonder, why is there the four pillars of self-care in a brain book? And the idea is that you've got to now keep up. That train has to keep up with the maneuvering of the conductor. And, you know, when you start getting these things that you beckon out and hearken out for, you better be ready to, you know, close the deal on that and really have that physical body in line for it. And those are, you know, things we all hear about: sleep and hydration and food needs and, you know, all of those things, movement, body movement. But the reality is we want that train. It's like buffing up and shining up the machinery so that when the brain gets straight, you can just go, because you will get the things you want. There's a soul spirit section in the book that's super powerful, and that is to bring those things to you. So maybe your soul spirit is nature. Maybe it's the universe and you're steeped in science. Maybe it's God. It doesn't matter what you call it. We call it soul spirit so that we're all talking about the same thing regardless of what you've named it.
And then that's beautiful. And I like a lot of people that listen to this show or clients that I work with, you know, are trying so hard on that body part. And what we need is we need both, you know, like you're saying, you need to get your body up to par. So you, for your mind, but I completely agree with that. But a lot of times when we're having these health issues or we're trying so hard, it's because our subconscious is not up to speed.
Right. So it's coming from chronic thought of a problem. So for example, like knees are pride and ego. You know, low back represents a thing and neck represents a thing. Everything represents something. And so if the thoughts are on that thing for long enough, it does start to create it. Why? Because it's trying to get our attention. So I can contend that when those thoughts are straight in the mind, the body doesn't have to act out to get your attention. You don't have to have the sore knee or the sore hip if you're trying to experience balance. Like if you're a balanced, you know, if you've already got the balance right in the mind, then the hips don't need to act out. If your pride and ego are in place, the knees don't have to act out. It's very interesting, because even issues of fear, like, so the subconscious has all of the centers of, you know, issues. So sadness, anger, fear, hurt, guilt, all of those things sit in the subconscious. If you're a tremendously guilty person, you know, you just always feel guilt ridden, like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this, or I shouldn't be experiencing joy, or, you know, whatever that hang up is, that will show up in the body so that you'll pay attention to it. Because the minute something hurts, we squeal and we go get it looked at, or we get it fixed, or we start to address it. It comes up to the conscious level of addressing. And so I say that if you're in tune enough with the subconscious, you don't have to go through that physical issue, because it's not trying to get your attention. It already has your attention. There's no imbalance there. And it's very simple to do. You know, a subconscious is like an 8-year-old little child inside of us. It just wants attention, and it just wants to be recognized, and it just wants to be nurtured and taken care of. So for example, if you had an 8-year-old next to you, you might not go to all the movies you might go to if you didn't. You might not listen to all of the people's advice that you would listen to, you know, if you didn't. It's a very interesting thing. And I call that section Tonkas and Tutus, because our subconscious is that little 8-year-old beautiful little child that we have next to us all the time. That's our stenographer, recording and writing down and taking in everything. And that's why sometimes those body parts will start to act out because the focus is there, you know, or on, or should be on something that needs fixing in order for that body part to, you know, balance out. So anytime there's something with the body, I always go back to those thoughts that control that, always.
I envision that 8-year-old inside of me a lot. I do a lot of inner child meditation work. And, you know, it doesn't matter where these thoughts or patterns started from. A lot of the times we have to do a big bulk, at least for my own healing journey, of stuff that we actually picked up during that time period. Yes. And healing that 8-year-old then, but also healing that 8-year-old right now. And the techniques that you have in your book, which we're going to kind of go do a 6-principle breakdown of your book, are easy to do. They're not like hours meditations. They're practical, which I love.
My clients are busy people. Who has time? Oh my gosh. If I told you how many sessions I've had on a tarmac and an airplane, or, you know, running from one point to the set. I mean, it's funny because this is grab and go. I mean, there were times where some pages would come back to me, you know, with like, what about a, you know, writing thing and a journal and all this. I was like, no, no writing, no journals. No. Because as much as wonderful as that is, it can't be for this. I don't operate that way. I have to keep it moving faster. And I just want, it's like if I took this beautiful machinery and I just put it on your desk there, Lauren, and I said, you know, here's the manual to run this machine. And if you just plug this in, you're going to have the easiest, most beautiful life. And that's what this book is. It's simply a manual. It's to go in the bottom of your purse. It's to throw in the back of your car. It's literally to keep down in the bottom of your backpack. Go. And when you have a thing, flip through the pages, read, and nothing's more than 3 minutes of time. Mm-hmm. I don't have more than 3 minutes. I don't know about you. I don't have more than 3 minutes. And I really don't want anybody to have to spend more than 3 minutes because it's so easy. You know, one of my sayings is, what if it's easy? You know, and this book was, it was number one new release and number one bestseller the third day it was out on Amazon in its category because of this very thing. People do not have time. I'm going to tell you right now, I have this in front of me. So Life and Style magazine called it must read material. In Touch magazine, powerful read. Hot Stuff with What's on Fire This Week. Hot book for what magazine is it? Star magazine with Kris Jenner here. Unlock Your Greatest Potential with Kimberly Friedmutter's new book. The Hypnotherapist of the Stars shares her tricks and tips for living your best life, whether it's losing weight, getting that job promotion, letting go of unnecessary clutter that's bringing you down. Kimberly's here to help you achieve it all. It's for everything. It's finding parking spaces. It's finding lost items in your house. It's all that stuff. Great beach read. Great for guys, boyfriends, fathers. Father's Day is coming up on June 16th, and the demographics for this book is it's been 48% male, 52% female, so it's a great guy read. It actually, this last week, was, number 3 of the top 25 books that America's CEOs are reading. So it's everywhere. I mean, look, if it can tell you how to, like, what to do if you have bad hair, and it can also help a CEO. You might have to share it. You might have to get 2 for your household. But great Father's Day gift because it's manly. You know, it's blue cover. It's strong. And women, it's a very funny thing because women feel like they've cornered the, you know, the information on intuition and the intuition market by simply calling it women's intuition. And it's actually not true. Men, given the chance and the opportunity, are so intuitive, and they actually have that, you know, that hunter primal drive so alive in them. I think we nurture ours more, which is where we get that from. But I have some fantastic genius males that, you know, they love this, and they're thankful for the information because it's a good guy read too. It's just gender, you know, gender neutral, I guess.
Well, you were mentioning The Secret at the beginning of the interview, and like you said, this is a manual for that, and in a way, and I think it's just this easy step-by-step process. Like, over the years, I've, you know, gathered all this type of information that's in your book, and, you know, I've gone to week-long meditation seminars and meditated 8 hours a day, and, like, vision boards, and, you know, like you said, journaling, which is all good, and I love it.
Yeah.
But most of the population isn't into that. And even myself, with this podcast and other things I love to do, I don't have the time either. I would love the secret.
Yeah,
exactly. Which is right. Something like this.
I have the most beautiful journals, and everybody, you know, when they give you a gift, it's so beautiful. And I've got them with Buddhas on them and shells on them and unicorns on them and sparkles and glitter and all these beautiful things. And they sit. And I don't know if I'm that different than most women when I just say, I love the idea of it. I love to read about it. I love to dream about doing a journal, but never in my lifetime is this going to happen. It's not a priority for me. It's just one of those niceties. And so for this kind of protocol, it's perfect. I like it in my head where I can control it. It's easy. It's on the go. You know, I used to say I like to run because I can just throw on tennis shoes and just run. I don't need a piece of equipment. Just shoes. That's it. Well, this book is your shoes. Just grab the book, throw it in, go. Who has time? I don't have time.
Well, you have the print copy, but you also have an audiobook version of this as well.
Yes, and I actually did the audio read of that. I wanted, but I wanted to do that because I really feel very passionate about this, as I'm sure you can hear in my voice. It's been a life calling for me, and I'm so thrilled and honored to have the opportunity that I really wanted to do the reading, because it is 3-minute hacks, but like how much better than to have it by the hypnotist herself, right? So I thought, I have to do this. This is a must, because my protocol in person, you know, is very touchy-feely, and it's very, you know, close your eyes and go within. And it's very, you know, it's very intimate and very personal. And I wanted the book on tape, or, you know, whatever we're calling it, MP3s now. I wanted it to have that texture. It needed to, because I'm there, you know, it's like perfect. It's like a real session. And it's about, I think it's 7 or 8 hours, the thing. It took about 4 days to tape and 8-hour days. And it's about 8 hours, I think. 7 or 8 hours. Yeah, so it's really helpful.
And that's awesome, just to pop in the car. I know I love doing that on my drive. And yeah. I think for guys out there too, like I know I've bought my dad for Father's Day before an Audible subscription, which, you know, he travels a lot for work and in the car. And I think we have these little tidbits of pockets of time we don't realize we have.
Yes.
And like, I know a lot of us are in the car a lot, or commuting, or, you know, on the subway or something like that. And, you know, even if you don't have the book, you have your phone with you all the time. I know you do.
Right.
Exactly. And
there's something. Yeah. And then also it's available on CD, but okay. The main thing is getting to the principles. So the first principle is to come into accountability. And that's exactly what we're having this discussion. I'm saying just the truth is that I don't journal. I love the idea. I don't do it. And that's the real me. I just don't journal. So there, I've said it. There. But anyway, so all that said, the first principle is taking accountability. And it's just a real honest look. You know, people will ask me all the time, they'll say, you know, how did you get to this stage? And I said, I just got very real with me. You know, again, going back to that little 8-year-old, I just decided not to BS it anymore and just be okay with it and just say, look, this is me and this is where we're starting. Warts and all, this is where we are. And so that's the first step. Super easy. Tap into your subconscious is principle number two. And again, super, super easy. A little overview as to what it is, a little overview as to how you can recognize it, because we all get that little tap on the shoulder. And, you know, honestly, you don't know all the time if you're supposed to follow that. You know, and I've had men say, well, what if it's wrong? And, you know, what do I do about if I don't know if that's the right way? And all those are answers in the book. It's so revealing, but it's a beautiful thing, because you're getting to meet the best part of you. And let me tell you, when I say it runs your body, your heart, your lungs, everything about you comes from your subconscious. I don't know if you're aware, but you can't drown yourself without a thing. You can't, you know, strangle yourself. Like, your body follows your mind, and your mind is about your survival, especially your subconscious. Its prime directive is survival for you. That's what takes in air and runs your heart and all those beautiful things that you don't think about. It's a very busy, you know, function of the mind. Never sleeps. You know, that's where your dreams come from. That's where all the healing and the cellular renewal and all of those synapses and all those beautiful things of your mind happen 24/7, no breaks. So let's treat her right is what I say.
I agree.
The third principle is, do you move toward or away? Now, this is kind of interesting. This is a question about orientation. So if you find yourself unhappy in your trajectory, you know, can't quite get the right job, can't quite live in the right place, can't quite find the right mate, it's possible that you spend your time leaving the things you don't like instead of moving toward the things you do like. Now that raises an interesting question, and everyone responds kind of the same way, like, never really thought about that. So that's a good one, really telling one about, you know, how, and if you do just move away from things, you know, bacteria moves away from stimuli that it finds to be vulnerable to or negative. And so, you know, certainly we're smarter than that. So why don't we trajectory towards things that we love instead of moving away from things that we don't love? So there's an intention behind our movement. Mm-hmm. The next principle is judge thyself and thy neighbor. I'm here to bring judgment back, just to say. I am. We've gotten too loose, people. We have. So here's the thing. It's not about, you know, do I think you look great in that sweater, or the skirt's the good color for you and all those things. It's not the mean girl aspects. What it is what's good for your ecology, what's good for you and your survival and your, what I like to call, thrival. Because who needs to just survive? Let's face it, we want to be fantastic and we want to be great. We want our hair to look good. We want our bodies to feel good. We want to feel good. We want to feel energetic. And judgment is the way to do that, because especially now that we have these PDAs and all of these things, call for our, and demand, quite frankly, for our conscious attention starts to wear on us. And to have judgment of where to spend your time. Do you ever watch Judge Judy?
Oh, yes, yes. Not for a long time, but yeah.
Okay. So Judge Judy just rocks it. You know, and her whole appeal of the show is that she brings judgment back. Did you use good judgment? Were you using good judgment at the time that you did this, that, and the other? And it really does behoove you. You know, Gavin De Becker is a very powerful man now on the planet. He wrote that book, Gift of Fear, and he is a security consultant for, like, the cloud, you know, things like that. He's got good clients. And so he was so great in a book that he wrote, and he's written series like The Gift of Fear for teens and, you know, a lot of books since. But the point is that we keep ourselves safe when we judge properly. And this is who's taking our attention, when and why. And so that's all spelled out in the book, because your subconscious, your little 8-year-old needs you to wake up and pay attention to the things that are good for you and to give less attention to the things that are not ecological for you. It's important. And then principle five is give to get. Another equally sticky subject. People feel like they shouldn't be getting, and people feel like they should just be giving. And what happens is it makes us tired, and it makes us resentful, and it makes us cranky, and it makes us less beautiful and less fair than we need to be. And so when you get back what you feel like you've given, you are happier, period. And an honest person will tell you that. People ask all the time, how did you get what you got? I said, I asked. I simply asked. You know, someone asked you for this on my behalf for this interview, and you granted it. So if we hadn't asked, we wouldn't have gotten. And look at us now. So the whole system, the whole universal system, is based on reciprocity. And even animals abide by reciprocity. There are many studies that I cite in the book about this, so that women will stop feeling bad asking for what they want. If you're with a man that does not give you what you want, have him read this book, in particular, chapter 6.
Chapter 6, okay.
Chapter 6 is sounds a lot like sex. In chapter 6, you'll remember that, give to get. And reciprocity is very important. Even a dying tomato, you know, on a vine, gives in its death. So the tomato dies. It falls to the ground. It becomes nutrients for the new tomato coming in, right? Even our governmental system operates on give to get. If you give philanthropically, number one, you get to feel good. So that's a give or a get. And then the government gives you a tax break on those dollars that you spent. So even the government, like a big system like the government, understands reciprocity. So I say we get on the reciprocity train and get, you know, because it's honest. The truth is I look at tired, exhausted mothers and wives and girlfriends, and I say, listen, you are tapped out. Your cup is empty. And they say, yeah, you know, I'm an over giver. And I say, stop it. And I teach you how to stop it. And now you can be a giver in recovery, because it doesn't, you're actually giving nothing if you're giving it all. You're giving nothing, because there's an end to it. And you know it, and I know it. You get cranky, you get resentful, you get passive aggressive. It's not a good look.
None of us want that.
No. And there's no beauty cream that can take that away. But when you flip that dynamic and you start asking for what you want and you get very aligned and very honest, it's a beautiful thing. I'm all for it. So the last principle, of course, is play big. And we need you globally and as a community. We need you to be the best you can be. And so it is each of our responsibility to go for what we want and just go for it. Like, seriously, it's if you don't give yourself permission, no one else will. And so you just must. And that's another thing with the four pillars of body care, is that you have to be able to rise to that occasion to go after what you want. You know, what good is the brass ring if you don't have the energy to jump up and grab it? And we are overtired, overworked, we're overtaxed, we're all of those things. And I am here to help you out of that, because nobody wants to be, you know, even like a lot of, I see a lot of thyroid issues. I see a lot of, you know, vitamin D issues. I see a lot of issues now in just the fatigue department. Go to your doctor, get your lab work done, treat it like a spa day, get yourself straight. It's the best thing, because you need to be full to go after that brass ring. And that brass ring is at the end of this book, in making, you know, your best life possible. And you can do it, and you know you can do it, and your intuition will guide you. You'll know where you need to be. You don't have to ask for anything or, you know, give excuses for wanting what you want. Just go for it, because everybody really wants the same thing. We all want to be happy. Some want to be famous. We all want to be happy. Just do it. It's easy.
Oh.
It's interesting, because there's like a section I'm just flipping through. I see here, you know, that it's reminding me, retrofitting your relationships. I mean, you go through a little bit of a closet clean in this too. You know, you're going to see that, gosh, now that I feel better, this person's draining me, and that person never really gave back. And this one, I feel like I, you know, overtaxes my, you know, system, whether it's security or, you know, money or happiness, whatever. It's time to clean house and to really be, you know, put on your big girl pants and be accountable for it.
It's okay. And that can be people who have been in your life for a long time too.
Yeah.
And being okay with setting those boundaries and saying no and putting yourself first. And like with my family and friends, I like, look, I love you guys, but if you want to do something, I need time, like a week or two at least, to be able to fit it in. Because if not, like if I overload my schedule or, you know, overpour my cup, it's not good for anybody. And I, you know, I think that's a lifelong lesson for a lot of us and for myself. But once you start feeling better, especially with this, asking for help, and like you said, fifth principle, give to get. Yeah. Once you start really applying that, you're not going to want to go back, and you'll know, you'll be able to feel when you're a little out of balance.
You're going to feel so clean and so pure and so right, because it is. You know, we've been taught somewhere in there, the wires got crossed, that we're not supposed to get. You know, oh, your birthday's coming, what would you like? Oh, nothing. My husband's cute. You know, he used to have these parties, these birthday parties, and they would put on the invitations, no gifts, please. And I said, what is this? And he said, oh, no, you know, I have everything. I don't need anything. And I said, seriously, I said, I want to talk to 8-year-old you. I forget about, you know, X many years you. I want to talk to 8-year-old you and see what he has to say about this, because this does not sound fun at all. And so sure enough, in hypnosis, his 8-year-old him felt, you know, like I put on these parties and it's expensive and all this time and these people. Yes, he loves his friends, but you know, come on, a tie clip, a money clip, a, you know, a gift card to whatever, you know, come on. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And I saw his face light up. It was so beautiful. And, you know, men really, really, really need, and yes, we're adults, we all know, and all of that, but there is alive and well inside of us, this beautiful 8-year-old child that's not done with the party. And, you know, whether it's a, like we got a unicorn float one time for the pool and it brought so much joy. And I thought, you know, that's, now that's a gift. Like, how great is that? A handful of glitter and a unicorn float. Like, and that's for a man. I love that. You know, that's like, it's the best. And so, and you just saw his spirit soar. And that's the part of the mind I'm talking about. Because I think that you would agree that overall, we are not that happy. We're kind of cranky. We get a little caustic. And that 8-year-old, and that's why I call it Tonkas and Tutus. Literally, I'll bring tutus, real tutus, multicolored tutus into a meeting of people that I feel like are cranky or upset about something and watch their faces light up. And if there's men, I bring a Tonka truck in. And it's the most beautiful moment because it harkens to a time we feel like we had to put away. And, you know, whether it was a divorce or children are sick or a job loss or whatever, you know, just aging, getting older, whatever that is, you know, it could be from 15 to 27 now, you know, whatever that difference is that we feel like maybe we got pushed into adulthood and we're not quite ready. And that little 8-year-old is alive and well. And I give you permission to whip that tutu back out of that old dusty drawer or box in the garage and slide that thing on and celebrate. I even wrote a little song about it. You want me to sing it for you?
Oh, please. I would love it.
Oh my gosh. I tell the story in the book. This gal was having a birthday and it was a tough group, and I won't go into too much of the story, you'll read it. But anyway, so the song, it was a bunch of women and I was pulling out these tutus and it was a birthday gift because I wanted to give her a gift of action. She is a woman who has everything. And, you know, I thought she just, you know, probably does not need another bag or another whatever, another scarf. And so I pulled all these tutus out and, okay. So anyway, it says, I'm just a glitter girl. And every time I twirl, people ask what you doing with or without underpants. I do my little dance. Ooh, I'm tutuing. I used to be so sweet. And now I only tweet about the problems of the world. And when I feel like life's gone wrong, I slip my tutu on because deep down I'm just a glitter girl.
Oh, I love it. Bravo, bravo.
There is a dance that goes along with
okay,
it.
Okay, okay.
Audio only. So. But anyway, it was just, you know, it was a beautiful moment. And these girls, they cried, they laughed, we giggled, we danced, we threw glitter, we took photos. It was so beautiful. And, you know, it really... it's okay to be her again. And that was the whole message, is that it you don't have to just be this conscious driven driving. I call it going general in the book. You don't have to go general. You can soften up and be okay in that softness. And I know a lot of us don't feel like we can. I'm a strong personality. I'm sure you are. Most successful women are, you know, and it doesn't have to, that's not the part of us that strength can come from the softness inside of us. And that was the point. And, you know, I'm a big believer that the subconscious is soft and she's the feminine part of us, and in men too. That's that softness. And, you know, powerful men, they don't yell, they don't have to, you know, they know their power, and it's a beautiful thing. So while this is not gender specific, it's really brain specific, because we've gotten a little off track in that we've become fair game for everyone and everything. And I feel like that's where we lost it.
Oh yeah. And I think I speak to it as well and agree with being a driven woman. You know, it applies to both genders, but you know, we were taught subconsciously or maybe even consciously to push that intuitive part down. And I think it's for the entire culture, like you said, to relearn this tuning inward to the 8-year-old self. And when you first started talking in the beginning about going into trance, when people are, you know, kind of worry about it or not sure they could actually get there, you know, I think of when I do those things that my 8-year-old self loves to do, you know, that's a great way to pop into trance is, you know, I like just to tune on Spotify and just dance around the living room. You know, no one's watching, whatever song comes on. And that's what I used to love to do is run around the house. I think back then it was Madonna. And I thought instead of Material Girl, I thought it was Cheerio Girl. And I was convinced she was talking about Cheerios because that made so much sense.
That's great. Well, it was for you. It was.
Yeah.
That's cute. One of the things in the book too that's important is getting out of drought. You know, and drought is that depressive state. Whether it's, you know, there's three I identified. One was passing drought, which is, you know, you have a bad week or like what I call hair nato if your hair is not doing right, or you get a fender bender, or, you know, tussle at work, whatever. And then lingering drought where it's longer. It could be a year. Maybe there's a passing of a family member or, you know, sick child or something that's just kind of got you for a while, 3 months, a year, whatever. And then there's habitual drought, which is that person we all know that just can't get out of their own way and brings everybody down and kind of the negative Nelly of the group. And there's instruction on how to not only get yourself out of the situation, but to get those that you love out of the situation. And you must not go in after them, you know, because the tendency is to crawl on your back to get out. And it's a drowning kind of situation, but lack of whatever that is that they need. And it comes from not paying attention. And a little 8-year-old version of ourselves would never imagine suffering like that. You know, so like even if it was a song you were dancing around to that was a negative, you know, thing in some way, the 8-year-old, a perfect example, would make up new lyrics, you know, because you just don't understand what that even is. And so it's a nice way to even get out of the most depressing of states is to imagine your way out of it. And you can absolutely do that because the brain got you there. The brain can get you out of it. Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. So I find there's a balance of people who get into this work because they are in a drought. And versus, you know, you wouldn't want to get into this if you have a perfect life and perfect, you know, relationship and whatever. But I think it's important for people to realize that, you know, like you said, it's kind of getting out of that victimhood mentality and believing that the things that you want are possible and going big.
Yes, because not only possible, but you must, because when you're meant for something, it's going to come and be part of your life. It just is. You know, we've all had things. I'm sure there were things you were doing before you did this, and there will be things you do after this. And so as life mutates around us and kind of aligns us with the things and in that direction that we're supposed to be, and you can feel when you're in that zone or not, you know, it's like that. And I appreciate you bringing up the idea of trance because I feel, you know, trance is so much a part of my day that I feel like we're always in it from something, whether either you're watching the TV and, you know, you're just entranced and like children, those of you who have children, you know, Johnny, and he's just staring at the screen, you know, he's entranced. He can't be bothered, you know, so it's like, I mean, that's what video games are. That's what, you know, when you used to stare out the window in class and the teacher would tap the board and say, you know, get back in here, Lauren, pay attention. And I say, mm-hmm. no, let Lauren daydream and let her be out there because that's her magic. That's where that channeling comes in. That's where the information highway is. That's where all the good stuff is let your children, if anyone has 8-year-olds, if you have a 6-year-old, you can have an 11-year-old. It's around 8, but it doesn't have to be 8. Amplify and get your child excited about truthful things. You know how the 8-year-old, I know the answer, I know the answer, and they'll throw their hand up because they're not PC yet. You know, they still have that breadth of knowledge, but they don't have that play well with others aspect that shuts us down. And it's a real important time to feed and nurture that part of them. You know, if there's a tussle kind of on the playground or something, you know, did you feel like, you know, Johnny was having a bad day before he bit you, you know, it's like any of that, you know, all that kind of stuff for parents, they know exactly what I mean. And so, you know, there's, inviting that intuition in and inviting that instinct to be a part of the family is really, really, really critical at this stage. And let them know that they're on the right track, that even though later they'll learn to, you know, not bite people in the elevator on the way to Starbucks, you know, you understand how to play well with others. But at the same time, using that intuition to know what's appropriate and what has highest ecological value, it'll save people so much trouble and energy and time.
And I guess I had a question for you about people who are interested in feeling better, just, you know, emotionally, spiritually, physically, but don't know where to start with going big or, you know, what they really want. How would you help someone kind of start to dive into that process?
Well, once you start the principles, and again, super easy, super fast, super, you know, big print, easy pages, nothing scary. Once you start that, the way the book is designed is to start unraveling problems. And like I had a woman write the other day about anxiety, and I was just getting ready to write her back. Because the design of the book is to take care of those things. And it's kind of this magical, beautiful netting that has little sparkles on it. And as you read, these things start to unravel for you. And the hacks, we call them hacks, because, you know, everything's called hacks. They're hypnotic hacks. That really is the reason why we call them that. Hypnotic hacks. And they come at the time to unwrap that layer. It's like an onion. You know, you can't get to the meat of the onion until you take off those layers. And so it really becomes clear as you go through, because, you know, maybe it's your body that doesn't feel good. Maybe you're in drought. Maybe you're in habitual drought. I've had some people listen to different radio shows and podcasts and they'll say, oh my gosh, that I am the negative Nelly you were speaking of. And so it's really important. I can promise you this, nothing gets better as you age if it's unaddressed. Nothing. I've never seen anything go away that is a problem with someone unless they addressed it. And this book forces you to address those things. By the very first chapter, accountability, you have to address it. And it'll be the best thing you ever did. And then, you know what? A year from now, you look back and you think, I don't even remember having that issue, because the brain heals itself. You know, it's always creating new neurons. There was something my husband said he was having. Oh, no, actually, it was my father. My father is 90, and it was this morning. And he said, I'm having trouble writing words like third and fourth and all of this thing. And so I said, so start writing numbers and your brain will regrow those neurons. And he said, oh my gosh. And so I said, yeah, you know, he has caretakers. I said, have your caretaker, you know, sit across the room and say, you know, once, twice, three times, you know, like that, and just write it down on paper, because your brain literally will heal that. So the only way really to do it is to do it. And that's the beautiful part of the brain, is that it wants to survive. Again, that regeneration that it goes through, that process is so beautiful. And it does not have, nothing has to stay like it is. And that's the most hopeful thing I can say for anybody. People say, oh, do you think people really change? I say, absolutely. You better believe it. And, you know, minute by minute. And so, and when it's a brain issue, like say that you're just not happy, or, and you don't really know why, or, you know, you're depressive, I say, get your lab work, because like I'd said, a lot of thyroid business out there, a lot of, you know, lack of vitamin D, a lot of things that I just see in these flows. And we're in a flow of that for some reason now. I'm not a medical doctor. I don't know why. It's like that, but it is like that. And I see it in my practice with prevalency, and I'm not sure what's going on in the world that's causing that. But when people get, you know, when your physical's in order, of course you can do, you can run faster and jump higher, and that's important. Now, a lot of people use trance and they use this system for enhancement, you know, so athletes, people who are already at the top of the game, a lot of CEOs are reading it for that, is to have performance enhancement. It doesn't have to be for a problem. That's the beauty of the Father's Day gift. You know, you don't necessarily want to say, I noticed you were depressed. Here's a book. I noticed you put on a few pounds. Here's a book. You know, you can always frame it in the sense of learning new things and performance enhancement, because it is all of that as well. Because, you know, it's not just linear. It's really for all through life. And then even after life, there's a beautiful story at the end about Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson and how I was instrumental in helping Mike get to Muhammad's final service there that they had for him. And it's such a beautiful story. And I do believe that life is a loop. I do not believe it's a line. I do believe that there's others on the other side that take care of us and nurture us and help us. And, you know, if you believe that too, you'll enjoy that chapter. And then if not, it might be a good eye opener for you. But it's just, it's all about you. This book is not about me. This book is not about my clients. This book is all about you. And that's the way I wanted it, because we all, if you imagine we're all on the freeway together and everybody's driving the same speed and we're all up to speed, how beautiful, because we're not bumping and weaving and bobbing and pausing and stopping and swerving and all that. We're just going. And that's my wish, is that we all just go, that we all just know the information. It's your brain. How wonderful. You already have it. You know, you've got the mechanism. It's literally plugging it in and then just utilizing it to your highest advantage. Who doesn't want that?
Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's all about you, and that is okay. And not only is it okay, that's the way it should be.
Well, yeah,
that's what it needs to be.
Yeah, if you're happy, I'm happy. And, yeah. And I want my stuff to be about me, and I want your stuff to be about you, and so on and so forth, because then we're all covered. Mm-hmm. I can't cover you. You know, nobody knows you like you and your little 8-year-old, and you can't cover me. So how beautiful that you do you, I do me, and off we go. And we can, you know, fly side by side because we've got the rhythm of it, and we have the information of it, and we have the capability of it. That's beautiful.
Such a beautiful gift. And with that, I would love to kind of wrap things up. Was there anything that we did not yet cover that you wanted to talk about today?
I don't think so. I think we kind of covered it all. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing to have been here, and I appreciate you, you know, visiting with me and getting to talk to you in person. I'm very, very familiar with your work, and I appreciate you. I want you to know that.
Oh, thank you. Likewise. And thank you for your time and, you know, sharing your passion with everybody, because this is, you know, like you said, if you never would have showed up for yourself and healed yourself with way back when, you know, with your stage fright, you know, who knows where you would have been today. And I think that's so important for people to understand. It doesn't happen overnight. It's just step by step of continually showing up for yourself and focusing on that positive aspect.
Right. And you know, it's a funny thing, because with hypnosis and trance, it's super fast how it happens, because it really is just a perspective shift in the mind. So it kind of does. I mean, you know, by the time the person says the words, or you read them, or, you know, you're in that zone, it just goes away. It's really almost miraculous. It's pretty wild. So I'm a big encourager of it, because no one knows you and can heal you like you. And that's the beauty. And also the fact that trance is so perfectly natural for us. I mean, what do you feel right before you go to sleep? What do you feel right before you wake up? It's that wonderful floaty feeling where the mind, the conscious mind, is out of the way and everything is possible. And that's that dreamy, floaty, beautiful state of, oh, I don't know if I really want to get up. You know, you don't know really if you want to get into consciousness. This is why our drug culture is so prolific right now, and alcohol and things. We're all looking for that state. But the beauty of it is that state's natural to you, and you don't need assistance in those ways. That's just, you know, you just zone out. It's beautiful.
I totally agree. And thank you again so much for doing the work that you do, writing this book, and of course coming on here to talk to me today. And the last thing I do with every episode is I like to challenge our listeners. You know, we're so grateful for the information and the work that you did do and shared with us today. And, you know, I like to challenge our listeners to ask them, how can we provide value or be of service for you today?
Well, that is lovely. And thank you for that. And I'm going to stay true to my words and my belief on give to get. And I'm going to say, get a copy of the book. That would be the greatest gift.
I agree.
it's one of those gifts for me, just for you, because here's the thing. You get up to speed, and we can all travel that information highway the same way. And then also, I've just made your shopping for your father or loved one or you know, husband or father to your children. I've made your list shorter. You can get your guy this book, and now we're all good. So that would be the greatest service, and I appreciate you for asking. Thank you.
Of course. You're very welcome.
See how easy it is just to ask for what you want?
Exactly. It just flowed right in.
That's right. And I'm a big, you know, I say, go home and ask for what you want. Maybe that's the, you know, how they have the ice bucket challenge. Let's do get challenge where everybody starts asking for what they want and see how happy everyone is.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to go do that right now.
Because men especially, because they're not mind readers and they just want to know, you know, and somehow we keep it this, you're supposed to know, and they don't, you know, let's help them. Why not?
Yeah. Perfect for Father's Day. It's for us women out there to show up better for those men in our lives too, and vice versa as well, yeah. But a gift for yourself and a gift for your loved ones.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, thank you again.
Thank you, Lauren. I so appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye, doll.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.